all year. We've been going through Galatians bit by bit. That's how we do it. And we read through it at bit by bit, and Paul has made the case that we are saved or justified not by any works, but only by faith, or by through believing in Jesus. And so the tendency is to think, oh, that sounds right, but then in day-to-day life, we function as if that's not true. We function as if what we do really, really matters. And then we think about how do we grow in Christ. We think it's, I've got to get more practical tips and laws to help me change. Well, Paul continues to pound this drum, and this is at his most passionate in the Bible. You've got to read this if you have not read this book. It is remarkable just how passionate this apostle can be. It is stark. So check it out. We think when we're talking about attributes of character, like we're going through the fruit of the Spirit, we've been doing that the last few weeks. We're going through the fruit of the Spirit bit by bit, looking at all the angles of the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit. If you have the Spirit in your heart, if you know Jesus, then you have all of these character attributes. If you have those, we think the best way to grow in them is give me tips, give me rules. But the way we grow is by the Spirit, not the law. It's by grace, not by the law. It's by believing rather than doing the law. So today we're going to look at kindness and goodness. Now again, this is the most cliche thing you can be talking about at church, right? Be kind to your friends. Be kind. Be good, okay? The Christians, the church people are good people, right? We're gonna explore that thesis, right? Good and kind people. So I'm not gonna give you 8 ways to be nice today. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a great lesson? Eight tips on how to be nice. Not gonna do that. I once had a children's toy in our house that said, "Be kind to your friends." I think it was a little turtle, wasn't it? A little turtle. And if you hit the button, it'd say, "Be kind to your friends." And I've never seen my children about to hit somebody and think, "Oh wait, the turtle said be kind." And that's never changed any of my children, even though they heard that message over and over. Be kind. Shh, be kind to your friends. So what I'm going to do is I want to lead you on a journey towards kindness and goodness like you've never seen before. That Jesus is actually going to make you kinder and better than you could ever imagine. He's going to take you higher than you've ever thought you were able to go. Okay? He's going to take you higher today. So let's read the text and we'll unpack it. Galatians 5, starting in 16, we're really going to highlight kindness and goodness. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy," which is sort of the antithesis of kindness, just so you know. Okay? You see that the bad, the rotten fruit of the flesh, as we're in the midst of that, we're going to see the good fruit of the Spirit just in a moment. But it's get back to jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries or envy there. Dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's serious. Those who do these things, who have this fruit, this rotten fruit in their life, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to it this morning and write its eternal truths on our hearts. Amen. So when we're thinking about kindness first, the opposite of that is envy or jealousy, right? It leads you not towards kindness, but towards bad behavior, right? It's all about me. Now, when we're thinking about kindness, though, when you think about kindness, I asked Meredith, what is the one word that she would use to describe me? and it wasn't kindness. Now we have people in our lives, in our, like my neighbor Paul, old neighbor Paul, he's just the kindest person ever. He would sneak over in your yard and cut your bushes for you if they needed it. Like, and so you wouldn't know it. He's that kind of guy. He's just so thoughtful. You know, he's so kind. He's nice. He's always smiling. Nice guy. And so nice guys finish last, though. The way of the world is not to be nice. It's to dominate. It's to win. And so no one wants kindness, right? That's not something we're after, right? We want people to be kind to us, but we actually only want to be so kind, really. So kindness, it's not just personality, being nice, nice people. That's a secular view, actually. That's not Christian. There's a lot of nice people out there. Gandhi's a nice person. He's kind. He's pacifist. Okay, is this picture up here? Hit the picture. Next. There it is. Okay. These are kindness rocks. There's a woman who is walking on the beach, and she is a really nice lady. And what she said is, look, I like to look for signs on the beach. I like to look in the sand, see if I can find a sign that will really encourage me and help me to know that my dead parents are speaking to me or something like that. She's looking at them to give her a sign. And so she would find that on the beach. So she's like, man, I'm looking for that. So I want to leave. I want to go get rocks. I'm going to paint them, paint a little nice message on them, and leave them on the beach for someone to find, and that might encourage them. That's nice. That's super nice. That's thoughtful. That might make somebody's day to see a little Easter egg looking rock on the beach amongst all the sand. The thing to say, like, hey, smile, be kind. Hey, the answer's within. These are all great messages, right? But they have, that's not Christianity. That is not spiritual. That's secular. That's, hey, I'm going to be kind by doing something. And the answer is, I can do something, and me doing something is going to change somebody. Well, bad news, it's not. That's a secular view. The religious view, that bleeds into the religious view, which is, hey, we're going to work and solve all the problems. We're going to find 8 ways to be kind so we can get rid of our jealousy and our envy. Or we might be looking for a return on our investment. We want people to see us as being holy. We want God to be satisfied with us. So we're trying to work our way into kindness. That's the religious view of kindness. We got to work our way to it. We got to be good enough. I've been waiting like 3 years to preach a sermon. I saw in the Super Bowl was happening about 3 years ago, the Seattle Seahawks were in it, and Marshawn Lynch, the running back for the Seattle Seahawks, was being interviewed. 5-minute interview, and he said 29 times, I'm just here so I don't get fined. 29 times. Any question they asked him, he explained this at the beginning of the interview in Super Bowl week, you know, because they have about 2 weeks of just straight up interviews, right? So he says if he knows if he doesn't go up there and get interviewed, he's going to get fined. So he is brutally honest. He says, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Any question they ask, I'm just here because I don't get fined. It's ridiculous. But that is exactly what we all do. We're just here because that's the requirement. We don't want to lose our job. We don't want to get out of graces of God because we think this is the minimum I've got to do in order to perform so I can go to the King of God. That's to satisfy God. That's not it, though. But our performance cannot alleviate our affliction, our fear, our trouble, our despair, our uncertainty, our lack of peace. It can't tell us God loves us. Doing things can't heal the void in our heart. It's not the answer. Doing is not the answer. We're going to go higher than that, than just, we're here so we don't get fired. Or we're here so we're just being a conscientious employee so we can get a raise. We're being a conscientious customer at Stella Nova so that they don't spit in our coffee. You know, or someone might see how we are, you know, and might be impressed. You know, we're not just trying to be that. We're not just being a good roommate. We're trying to be better than that. The calling is better than that today. We're going to go higher than that. Jesus is going to take us higher. It's not just these worldly attributes, it's piety, okay? It's piety is what we're going for. When you think about it, we've got to look at who Jesus is to understand what kindness really is. So on our PowerPoint, let's go to the Luke 6 slide. The Luke 6 slide. Here it is, back up. There it is. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Your first thing is expect nothing in return. Kindness has no return on investment. It's a one-way transaction. Expect nothing in return. Listen, you will be like the Son of your Most High, the sons of the Most High, for he is kind You see that? That's what kindness looks like. No return on investment. You're gonna give and expecting nothing, for he is kind to whom? To the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So kindness is wrapped up in goodness, mercy, love, all these things, towards the ungrateful and the evil. You can't be kind, really, unless the person you're dealing with is evil and unworthy. Kindness goes that one way towards somebody who's an enemy. Is that what we think of when we think of kindness? We just think about being nice. It's not just a neutral thing here. We're not just tolerating people. No, we're going to go and lend for their good. And if that's just like God. That's how he relates. Romans 3:12 says that no one's kind. Everyone's sin. Everyone's like these, got these throats that are like just open graves. They ask and vipers on their lips. We're just devils. We're little like vipers. We are sinners, and we don't deserve God's grace. That's how he relates to us. Romans 2:5, you want to write that one down? That's a great verse. You want to think about who God is? God is kind. And why is he kind? His kindness is to lead us somewhere. It's to lead us toward repentance. He wants to change you, change your heart towards seeing the beauty of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, when you're so obsessed with yourself. He wants to take you out of yourself and lead you to Jesus. That's repentance. So your trust is not in your performance and how good you are and how your reputation is, but it's in what God says about you. He sends Jesus for you. You're the world that God gave his only begotten son for, that whosoever should believe in him should have everlasting life. That's not for them out there. That's for me. I'm part of that world. I'm part of that sinful throats of open graves and lisping viperous poison out of my lips. I have a heart that's not seeking God. I'm that kind of guy. I'm the guy that Jesus, I'm so bad that I'm the guy Jesus had to die for. When we get that, we're going to begin to start to understand what kindness is. If God's been kind to you, you can follow in that. But kindness is not just being nice. God's not just being nice to us. He's being kind. He's approaching us as enemies and loving us. Psalm 34:8 is another one to write down, right? Taste and see that God is kind. God is good. That's the same word there, translated good. Good and kind really do relate together. Good and kind really do relate together. We'll talk about that in just a moment. God's kind. At great cost to himself, he keeps on abiding with you with no return on his investment towards enemies. Acts 20:28, it says that Christ purchased you with his own blood. Okay? One-way transaction. He gives and gives and gives so that you can be eternally with him. That's the way he relates to us, kindly. It's a description of God. This, and one commentator said that kindness is a desirable virtue in human beings, but the problem is no human beings possess it. It's only from God. And that's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not natural to us. So God, in his kindness, isn't just kind to his people. He's kind to everybody. He's really kind to everybody. Everybody, and he gives us all kinds of good things. We get to experience all kinds of joys in his creation because he's kind to us. You see in that, seeing the first steps of your son or daughter, you know, marriage, just the beauties of the sunset, everything like that. You got wonderful things that God gives us, but he has a special kindness for these people he's chosen, his church. So he gives without return on investment. Now, let me tell you a story about, anyone ever been to Dairy Queen? They have one down the street. It's awesome. You know, I love the Butterfinger Blizzard myself, but we can debate about which is the best. Now, but Dairy Queen is awesome. Well, there's a man who was working at Dairy Queen, not here, but 2 years ago in 2016, named Joel. Joel saw there was a blind customer in his line, and the blind customer had a $20 bill out to pay, and somehow he was fiddling around and he dropped it. Well, he was observing this while he was serving with customers, and then a lady standing behind him picked up the $20 bill and put it in her pocket. She thought no one saw her, but Joel saw her, and Joel called her out on it. Joel said, "Hey, that was his money. I think you just picked up his money." And she said, no, that was mine. That was mine. And so she wouldn't give it back. It was awkward, right? Totally awkward. Well, what did Joel do? He opened up his wallet out of his back pocket and pulled out a $20 bill and gave it to the blind man. Said, hey, here's your $20 bill. Hey, he didn't get anything out of that. Hey, somebody saw it, though, and somebody started talking about it. So it got viral, you know. So it was a great story about this guy behind the counter at Dairy Queen loving somebody kindly, right? Isn't that a great story? You know, he looks good in that story, right? Wonderful. That's like Jesus, okay? That's super like Jesus. Just think about it. There's a widow of Nain in Luke 7, and her only son is dying, and she's going to be abandoned, and Jesus sees this, and he heals the son out of kindness and compassion. There's a sinful woman later in that chapter who comes and weeps at Jesus' feet and washes his feet with her hair and her tears because she's so grateful to be forgiven. Jesus tells a parable about those who've been forgiven much. Those who've been forgiven little, love little. The Pharisees are shocked that she is, does he know who this is? How bad she is? She's engaged in some pretty bad sin, or has been. He loves her. He's kind to her. That doesn't make his reputation better. He just loves her. There's a disabled woman in Luke 13. Bad back. She's all stooped over. Jesus straightens her out. Best chiropractor ever, right? Magical. He heals her. Just out of pity on her and kindness. A bleeding woman in Luke 8 with a really bad bleeding problem. Jesus heals her. That made you unclean. He healed her. The disciples are like, hey, don't bring the children to Jesus because they don't matter. Jesus is like, no, bring the children. Let them sit in my lap. I'm going to bless them. The people, he gets no return on the investment. The people who aren't important, who are marginalized, who are sinners, he keeps on doing it. Let's think about an example that's not Jesus. David, who's a man after God's own heart, was like, when he became king finally in 2 Samuel 9, if you can go look at it later, he's like, who is still alive in my rival's household, Saul? Now you don't want your rival's household to exist. You want them to be wiped out because what? They might try to get the throne from you, right? Who's left that I can show kindness to is what he says. Kindness is the word in 2 Samuel 9:3. Man after God's own heart, Mephibosheth is the only one left. So what does he do? He says, Mephibosheth's going to come and eat at my house all the rest of the days of his life. When they are running, Mephibosheth was dropped as a baby and had this terrible foot problem and he couldn't walk. He's an invalid the rest of his life and said, that guy, I'm going to take him and he's going to be like one of my sons. Kindness. That's God. Kindness. Think about Jesus on the cross. Soldiers gambling for his garment. Throwing dice for his garment. What's he say? Father, forgive them, for they have no idea what they're doing. Kindness. No return on investment. Finally, as he's about to say, it's finished and finish his job to save you and me, what's he do? He actually is thinking about his poor mother who's staying there. Who's going to take care of her? So he says, John, this is now your mother. Mary, this is your son. He's providing for his widowed mother at his death and execution. That's Jesus. That's him. That's glorious. 8 tips to be more kind is not going to get you good. Looking at the glorious Savior is going to change you. That's the one who loves you. In spite of being what you are, in spite of being ungrateful, unworthy, and sinful, and cosmically treasonous, that's who he loves you. And it says, if you can do that, it's going to change you into sons of God. If you can look at, he's got an example for you, follow him. So, today, I don't know if you know this, there's a real kind of crisis the church is going into in North America, especially in America. Is that this is the first generation where there's more non-believers of children under 40 or thereabouts, so that age group of millennials and Generation Z, first time it's more non-believing than believing. And so there's been a lot of studies on this. There's a survey recently that I read, and it was asking people, so you're a non-believer, and you're outside, you're not religious, you're not a Christian, why is it that you don't believe? And so they pinpointed a few reasons. And so 23% said, well, it's because of all the hypocrites in the church who say they're good, but they act bad. You know, our church says you got to be bad to get in. you got to be like, I'm so sinful, I need Jesus to die for me. If we ever forget that, we've lost everything. We've lost the beginning of it. Okay, we're hypocrites. That's why they say they believe. They've misunderstood it. 15% historically the injustice in the Christian church. Crusades, etc. Bad behavior. 6%, this is the people who know me, they've had a bad experience with a Christian. Okay, 6% of them say they've had a bad experience with a Christian. 27% say the church is unsafe for them. 24% say the teaching is too shallow. Man, that's us. We've got to go deeper. We've got to lead them to Jesus because they're missing the point. They're missing the glory of the wonderful Lord because they haven't seen the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're missing it. The world's watching your kindness. People notice, though. They see you. That's one of the reasons why they're not here, why they're not engaging. They see us. They see our inconsistency. And so remember the story about Joel at Dairy Queen that I just told you? Remember that a few minutes ago? Well, you know what? Somebody noticed that. Who noticed that? Somebody was following the news, as he often does, a guy named Warren Buffett, of all people, who is a heavy investor in Dairy Queen. You know what he wanted to do? He calls Joel and gets on the phone and says, hey, I'm inviting you to the investors meeting, and I want you to tell the story. Kindness is so rare that Warren Buffett, who has all these resources, I think he lost like $1.3 billion, is that right? $1.3 billion in 1 week? I mean, like, he has that much, he has so much investments. He notices this guy and brings him in to speak at the investors meeting for Dairy Queen. And I'm saying there's somebody with far more resources than Warren Buffett who's invested in you, isn't he? And he sees you and he notices you. And you're not, the thing is your kindness is not the main attraction. Jesus' kindness is what we had to testify to. You know, that's what we had to show forth. Not our own works, but Jesus' works. And that changes our heart. See, kindness flows out of our heart. So what's kindness and goodness? You can say you're kind, but until you have good works, you're not kind. Goodness is the outflow of a kind heart. It's the actions we produce. It's the picking up the $20 and saying, this is yours. It's the getting on the phone and calling your enemy and saying, hey, we need to reconcile here. That's kindness. Kindness is engaging with somebody that's an enemy. It's not just being nice. It's just tolerating. It's not just loving the people that love you. It's going and making that first call. You're like, hey, man, it's both ways here. They can reach me. But no, you go to them. Kindness goes to them just like God goes to us. There is a story I read recently about a private school in Waco, Texas. And their basketball team had on the schedule to play. It's a Waco school named Vanguard College Prep. And they're going to go play at the Gainesville, Texas Correctional Facility. Okay, so these guys are in, these are kids, high school age kids in Gainesville Correctional Facility. And they're going to play. Well, it's at Gainesville. It's at their gym in the correctional facility. And so they had played them before, and the players on the Waco team knew what was up. And they said, hey, those guys don't have any fans. And this is a pretty wealthy private school in Waco. They're like, we got to do something here. These guys deserve to have fans cheering them on. And so what they did was they brought everybody up from Waco and packed out Gainesville's correctional facility to cheer them on. And you could see a huge difference in the morale of the Gainesville basketball team. You know, because they not only did fans, but signs, cheerleaders. They got cheerleader uniforms made for this and are cheering them on. Why? No return on the investment there. These are guys in the correctional facility. This is just to brighten their. This is just to brighten their day. This is just because this is the right. This is the good thing to do. It's thoughtful. Hey, what can we do? That's an example of kindness. Chris Paul, basketball player now for the Houston Rockets. His grandfather was murdered when he was a young boy by five boys his age. You know, and so when somebody asked him about that, they're serving life prison sentences in North Carolina right now. He says, you know, what do you think about that? He says, hey, I hate that they're spending all their life in prison. I wish I could just look them in the eye and tell them, I forgive you. You're forgiven. And somebody asked him, you know, why would you act that way? He says, well, I'm pretty deep in my faith. I believe in Jesus. And I'm saying that it's the heart that brings about those kind of actions. The good actions that we see are coming from kindness in our hearts because we've seen a greater path than just doing the right thing. That path doesn't work for us. Jesus had to come and give his life and blood for us and be our righteousness so that we could be his people forever only by faith. And so the gospel's out there for all of us. The offer's on the table. You can accept Jesus as your Lord or you can reject him. But you can't stand based on your record of kindness. You can't change your own heart. God's got to do it. You've got to ask, Lord Jesus, change me. I want to grow. I want to exhibit kindness and goodness towards other people, but I can't do it by myself. I need your help. We are needy people every moment. And so this is where we are. This is where we end. I told you we're going to go on a journey today, higher than you thought. Higher than you think you can go. Kindness can never be exhausted. Goodness can never be exhausted because we are moving into the image of Jesus. That's what the process of sanctification is we're going to become more and more like the image of Jesus. It's not something we can ever attain. And it's not all of us are going to be on the same track. Some of us are going to be a little better in this way, this area. Some of us are going to be a little better in this area. He hasn't called all of us to bless the correctional facility of Gainesville. He hasn't called all of us to bless the person who's at Dairy Queen. And we won't always know what our acts of kindness and goodness lead to. But in the day-to-day, if we can get our eyes off ourselves and get them onto Jesus, he's going to lead us to do some pretty amazing things. And the world is watching. And the 6%, the 27%, the 23% who have a reason to disbelieve, their minds are going to be changed when they see his church being a church and loving one another, being kind to one another. There is a greater purpose than we could ever imagine for you and me.